Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program, Today's Issues, here on American Family Radio. Hey, if you don't have the American Family Radio app, you need to download it on your smartphone or tablet or similar device, iPad, so for example. It takes you 60 seconds, maybe 120 seconds to download it, and then you can have AFR anywhere you travel. Or in your home, if our radio station goes out for some reason because you have a storm, the power goes out, satellite's down, or whatever, you can get AFR with the app anywhere and easily. Before Steve Jordahl comes on with us, I wanted to let Fred, who hails from Canada, give us the breaking news from the Great White North.
That's right, breaking news. Well, like here in the United States, a lot of restrictions have been put in place in order to fight COVID-19. So in the province of Quebec, Canada, the French province in Canada, Quebec, they have put into place a curfew. And that curfew says you're not allowed out of your house out of 8 o'clock at night, after 8 o'clock at night, through to 5 o'clock in the morning. However, there is a loophole in said curfew. The loophole is that if you have a dog, you can go out after 8 o'clock at night, take your dog for a walk to do his business. So there's a couple in Quebec that decided to test that loophole. Now, I'm not sure they had a dog, but they did have a dog leash. So, husband of this married couple agreed to put a dog leash on his neck. And the couple went out. And they were walking down the street. The authorities failed to see the humor in that. And they said they were guilty of the curfew.
Curfew violation. Did they arrest them?
Well, they didn't arrest, but they're facing fines of $12,000.
They gave them a citation.
Oh, yeah.
With $12,000?
$12,000 for walking,
your husband?
For walking your husband on a leash.
Huh?
Well, now listen. I mean, there's just no end to the number of jokes that we could kind of bounce off this and tell. I could start with talking about being in the doghouse before with my wife.
Yeah, you're right. You know, my wife started down that road.
Yes, you just you know. Listen, this is one of the most idiotic things I have ever heard, and I'm just shocked at Canada. This kind of idiocy usually just happens in our country. $12,000 fine because they go out. This is a COVID-related curfew.
Yeah.
As if the virus after 8 o'clock is especially lethal or something.
First of all, if you're brave enough to go walking in Canada in January after dark,
right,
you ought to be given a medal of courage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not a slap with a fine.
This is the nanny state on steroids.
Now, I did mention it's a French province. Now, there are rumors that the husband, as the authorities were coming along, said, "La bow wow, la bow wow." That still didn't work.
I got to give it up to the couple there that they got the clever. They got clever. Yeah. They say
so
they're probably thinking my neighbor has a dog. They can go outside between 8 and 5, but humans can't?
Nope.
Humans can't.
Unless
you have a dog. So.
And the dog protects you from COVID.
I wonder if the husband, I can't help this.
I know.
I can't stop myself.
I'm telling you.
Was the husband barking at the moon?
Huh? No, but he was barking up the wrong tree.
When the cops drove by and saw him out walking, did he start howling? All right, Fred.
You know, when he got back, he probably was thinking, I think I need a snack. This seems like an Alpo kind of night.
All right, stop right there.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you, Fred.
Take care, guys.
Keep me on a short leash, Tim.
Have a good weekend.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Ed will be here all week, ladies and gentlemen.
I told you, it's just begging for it.
Oh man, somebody doesn't need to tell JJ Jasper about this story. he'll have 100 spinoffs of it.
He's got that Rolodex in his head. Yes. Where he has a joke for every occasion. I wonder if he started collecting COVID jokes. That's probably too soon for that, right?
Yeah, probably. You're listening to Today's Issue. Steve Jordahl now with us. Hey, Steve.
Good morning. Those crazy Canadians.
All right. Go, Steve.
Hey, you know, you might have thought that we down here in Mississippi were living in a red state. We've reliably voted Republican for many, many years, as does Alabama and a lot of the southern states. But no, you're not in a red state, according to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the esteemed congresswoman from New York. I want you to hear where you actually are. And this is cut 9.
That southern states are not red states. They are suppressed states, which means the only way that our country is going to heal is through the actual liberation of southern states, the actual liberation of the poor, the actual liberation of working people from economic, social, and racial oppression. That's the only way.
You know she was serious because she's banging on the desk.
Well, also, if she ever gives up Congress, she can get a job as a Disney character.
she does.
She got some helium over there. Got some helium by her desk or something. I don't know what in the world.
She does. She sounds like she's in the fourth grade. She sounds young. But now, let me tell you, she's a potent force in the Democratic Party.
I know, but what is she talking about there, Steve?
Basically, this is identity politics at its worst, I suppose. Anybody who believes in Republican ideals, anybody that supports Trump, they're brainwashed, basically, and they are oppressed. In other words, the whole...
So people who live in the South, she's saying, because they are generally red states, she's saying that they need to be liberated, right? That's what she said, right?
Yeah.
Liberated from what, Ed? Did you get that? We need to have a follow-up. Who's the oppressor?
Tim, let me tell you. When you're living in oppression, you are being oppressed by oppressors.
I'm oppressed by, as a Mississippi State fan, I'm oppressed by Alabama.
I shouldn't have to explain this to you gentlemen. That if you're being oppressed, you are being oppressed by the oppressors who can only oppress because that's what oppressors
do. Says the
do.
Gentle lady from Brooklyn.
Yes.
Now, Walker, what is she driving at?
The problem here is that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and others, they do these videos, whether it be Facebook Live or whatever, sometimes even television interviews, and nobody asks them the hard questions. So they're able to make accusations, say outlandish things that make absolutely no sense. Some of the stuff we talked about last segment about President Trump supporters. And no one gets to raise their hand and go, so what do you mean by this? Instead, they get to make accusations, say outlandish things that make no sense. Ed and I can't even explain what she's trying to say there. And they move on. And then the media runs the clips over and over again.
I mean, because we could just as easily say, well, you live, Alexandria, Representative Ocasio-Cortez, you live in a blue state, and you just need to be liberated because you're oppressed. You're oppressed by your Marxist overlords, and you just need to be liberated. And if we were asked, what does that mean? We'd say, well, I don't know. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, we don't have to say. Anyway. You know, just be liberated.
Yeah.
All right, enough of that nuttiness. Go ahead, Steve.
Canadians are not the only ones with strange, regulations about how to deal with things. On the heels of the Capitol riots, Nancy Pelosi has decided that members of Congress need to go through metal detectors. Members of Congress, before they go on the House floor. Several Republicans said, this is ridiculous, we don't pose a threat, and sidestepped the metal detectors, Lauren Boebert from Colorado, who is very open about the fact that she carries. In fact, she open carries, not at the Capitol, but she refused to go through. They were at a standoff. They are having Nancy Pelosi wants to fine Republicans who didn't do this $5,000 for the first attempt, a first offense, and $10,000 for a second attempt. That's not Canadian dollars.
I don't know. My opinion is I don't know how she has the authority to fine on her own to fine people in Congress. I mean, she is the House Speaker, but that doesn't mean you can just make up laws by yourself.
Especially punitive.
Under what authority would she fine? I mean, she's not the king.
Under the authority that she sets the rules in the House. I think this is a House rule, like how you debate and everything.
Sure, I would just, I understand rules and you can't violate them, but I didn't know that they could, she unilaterally could levy fines.
Well,
if that's true,
if she can do that, she could technically fine members of Congress $1,000 every time they used a pronoun.
Gendered pronoun.
If she has
because
that
that's now a rule, right?
So, and you know, the Democrats and Nancy Pelosi are trying to act like they're doing this in lieu of or in light of the people storming the Capitol last week. But putting up a metal detector outside of the House chamber, even if it was put up before last week, it would literally have done nothing.
Right.
Because there were hundreds of people stormed in the Capitol roaming the hallway.
Right.
And they bypass the metal detectors and all the physical barriers.
I have no problem with metal detectors for people who are visiting the Capitol.
Right.
You have to do that anyway.
Right. So that's fine. But to say to members of Congress, you think she's doing this, Steve, talking about Nancy Pelosi, she's doing this to make a point with the new Colorado representative?
Who knows what goes through the mind of... of Nancy Pelosi. I think it could be. But it gets even better, though. Nancy Pelosi, the head of the caucus whose party wants to defund police, listen to what she said. She said, we have the deepest gratitude to the U.S. Capitol Police for the valor they showed and that Republicans are disrespecting our heroes by refusing to adhere to basic precautions when they refuse to go through the metal detectors.
So Democrats are just for defunding the police of Minneapolis.
Well...
not for defunding the Capitol Police.
Right, because then they would be put in danger.
Right.
For heaven's sake, I'm can't have that.
We can't have that.
By the way, not all Democrats are in favor of defunding the police. There are some Democrats with some sanity on that issue. But they're probably half their party is for defunding the police. And that's the kind of nuttiness you get. All right, Steve.
All right. What's going to happen with Parler? This is an interesting question. The CEO John Mates has been on media talking about the fact that Amazon Web Services took down his servers and basically denied him the ability to run his business. That was piled on by pressure on his attorneys who quit, on all their services for texting, any ability to communicate. Parler CEO John Mates is saying now the media platform may never return.
Yeah, I think I don't know the gentleman. I applaud him for starting this company, Parler. But Walker Dan Bongino, who is an investor, said it's not going away. Parler, it'll be back. So the fella, the CEO, what's his name?
John Mates.
He may have just been frustrated.
I think he was kind of getting at the point of it's going to be hard for them to get back. But Dan Bongino, who's also he owns part of the company, he says they're going to come back. So I think they're just working really hard to get back, and there's a lot of unanswered questions.
I think they're going to come back with Amazon's money.
They very well could.
They're trying.
Yes.
Because I think there's a very good chance that they're successful in suing Amazon for a breach of contract. And furthermore, this colluding that apparently went on between these big tech competitors to Parler, you can't do that in America. You can't. Now, I don't know all the legalities or all the you know, all the finer points of. I just know that as we talked about yesterday, if bigger companies collude to squash their competition in an illegal manner, then you can be sued for that.
Right, and I think that the Parler lawsuit against Amazon, because they were supposed to give them 30 days, I think, 30 days to find another someone who, you know, hosts their servers, and they just basically shut them down immediately. This is causing tremendous financial impact. I think that the CEO of Parler may be saying this because he wants to impress upon the judge when they finally go before it how devastating this was.
Yeah.
So I think you're right on at least on that count. I don't understand monopoly law enough or antitrust law enough to comment on the other. But in terms of Amazon being susceptible to a huge payout, loss before a judge, I would think that they have breached their contract and are susceptible.
Yeah.
Isn't monopoly law, do not pass go, do not collect $200?
That's true. That is monopoly law. Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Parler really needs to come back soon because people want an alternative.
You're impressed by their product, aren't you, Walker?
Yeah, I like it. I had a profile before Amazon pulled them down in Parler, and the CEO said they had about 20 million users before they were shut off.
What did they shut them off for?
Amazon claimed content violation or that basically Parler wasn't moderating their content on their platform up to the specs that Amazon expects.
And I've read some reports that there actually were comments on Parler about we're going to shoot so and so, we're going to kill so and so.
Yeah, there was and is, you know, bad content on Parler. There's evidence of that. But there's bad content on Twitter, too.
Right.
And Facebook.
I mean, Kathy Griffin's picture that I explained in the first segment, and you can go search that yourself so I don't have to explain it again. But the picture that Kathy Griffin, the comedian, put together of President Trump is still up on Twitter today.
Of him being beheaded.
Yes. That's up there today. And whoever hosts, I don't know who hosts Twitter servers, but they should be pulled down.
Here's the thing. These companies like Parler and Twitter and Facebook and so forth, if they are made aware of somebody promoting threatening or illegal activity, violence, for example, then they take it down. That's their stated policy in their guidelines.
Except for Twitter.
Oh, they don't have a policy?
Well, they might have a policy, but they're allowing a whole lot of
My point is, if the company were approached, they would cite a rule that they have that doesn't allow for this kind of thing. They have to protect themselves, these companies I'm talking about, all of them. So the Parler CEO, I've heard him, or either their legal person, says, listen, when we've find out about this kind of thing, we take it down ourselves because we don't want this on our platform. And that's the same answer you'll get from Facebook or Twitter or anybody else. They'll tell you if we learn about this kind of activity on our pages, we take it down. That's what the Parler fellow was saying. Listen, we're not for promoting violent activity or the overthrow of the government. And we will, if we're made aware of it, we will deal with it internally.
And by the way, that was the reason, the original reason for Section 230 was that because the Congress realized back when Twitter and Facebook were new that they probably couldn't catch everything right away. So when somebody did post a terroristic threat or inappropriate sexual content, they couldn't be sued because they didn't get it off right away. That's how it's supposed to be used. And of course they have used that for reasons of censorship. Walker, Parler and all these new social media companies would also qualify under Section 230, wouldn't they?
Well, it depends. It depends on, the quick answer is I would assume so, that they're a very similar company in how they operate. But you can't, these platforms that have Well, let me answer your question now that I'm thinking about it a little more directly. There's two main differences in there's like a platform and then there's a publisher, all right? And those lines have been blurred by companies like Facebook and Twitter. But a platform is basically a site where anyone and everyone can go and utilize and do whatever they want, whatever the site's intended for, of course, unless it's illegal activity, that illegal in various states or federal law. That's a platform. And so it's pretty wide open. You kind of do what you want. The publisher is more like a news website or a blog site where there's actual editors and publishers who approve content.
Like a newspaper.
That gets on the site, like a newspaper. So that's the difference between a platform and a publisher. Well, what's happened with Facebook and Twitter and others is they've kind of meshed these two together. And in one sense, they go, well, we're just a platform. We're not responsible for the content on our platform. They take that cover when there's bad stuff on their platform. But then at the same time, they have hundreds of people who are devoted to moderating the content on the platform. And they're yanking.
And you have to be left-wing to be a part of that.
Right. And they're not just pulling content that's illegal because it's illegal.
Right.
Twitter and Facebook and others are pulling content just because they don't like it.
Like they did with the New York Post article about Hunter Biden's laptop.
Right. And just like they did with President Trump and others. There's nothing that you can cite that President Trump put on Twitter that is explicitly illegal.
Right, right.
He's not under indictment.
Right.
And his tweets are not part of some kind of criminal scheme. They just pulled him because they just don't like him. And so if you're going to be a publisher and moderate literally everything on your platform, then you should become legally liable for what's on your platform.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to be legally liable, then you become a platform where there's free flow of information.
This is going to be interesting to see what happens because there are people on the left, like Elizabeth Warren, for example, who have expressed the desire to bust up the big tech companies herself. And people on the far, on her of her ilk, they would be doing it for different reasons. They would be doing it because they don't like monopolies. They don't like big corporations having. But people on the right would say we want to bust them up because they're violating the rules of the Section 230, and anything that any decision they make in the name of fairness always breaks to the left.
Right, like we've been talking about people who have clearly we mentioned on this show. That Facebook, when we were actually physically threatened, talking about AFA.
This happened to us here.
This happened to us.
We got a threat.
Somebody said they were coming here to kill us. Did it twice.
They said it like that.
They said it just like that.
On Facebook.
On Facebook, we, on a couple of occasions, two or three occasions, asked Facebook to remove it, and they said this does not violate our policy. Now, to show you how seriously the federal government took it, this individual was arrested, prosecuted, and convicted.
The federal pen, right?
Yes, but Facebook said it doesn't violate our policy.
And if we tried to sue Facebook for hosting that illegal content, they would say, well, we're just a platform.
Right.
There's no way we can regulate every user on our platform.
So you can't. What you're saying is for Facebook in particular, and they can't have it both ways.
Yes, you can't have it. You can't get legal cover over here and then yank people's content over here. For just posting political things that they disagree with.
Yeah. All right, Steve, where can they find you and your colleagues?
If you go to onenewsnow.com, you can go there. You can even sign up for a daily email where we'll keep you updated.
Check it out, folks. It's our news site, onenewsnow.com, onenewsnow.com. My thanks to Ed Walker, Brent Creeley, our producer, Steve Jordahl, Fred Jackson, Jan Markell, and Alex McFarland.
In the bunker.
See you tomorrow, folks.